be kind to each other and everyone else. Be kind every day, be kind, and every day be kind to each other and everyone else. Be kind. It's time to let your kindness show. Long for long. Boys, what you be? Kind all day long. And whatever you do, let Jesus shine through. So that all will be. This is where you want to be. Be kind. Every day be kind, and every day be kind to each other and everyone else. Be kind, every day be kind, and every day be kind to each other and everyone else you know. It's time to let your kindness show.
Torn. In Matthew chapter 14, as we look at this portion of Scripture and then get into chapter 15 as well, we come to genuine Christianity is the title of the message this morning, the heart of the issue. And the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart, isn't it? And so we see that that's what Christianity is about, and we'll see that when we get to the end. But as we look, starting at Matthew 14:34 and finish out that chapter, we're going to see several things this morning. We're going to see the touch of the hem of his garment, and the tradition of the heads or headmasters. I changed it in one place, didn't get it changed there. And then the tongue of the hypocrites and the trouble with the heart. And so we're going to look at genuine Christianity. And what is genuine Christianity? You hear a lot about Christianity, and I'll share an article from the news with you a little bit about that as well in just a little bit. So let's look first of all at the touch of the hem of his garment. We saw that in chapter 9 where a woman had come to him and touched the hem of his garment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come and look at your word. We thank you that your word is eternal. It's infallible. It's a living book. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts through it today. Lord, we thank you for Christ and for the body of Christ and genuine Christianity. And Lord, it seems like there's a misconception around the world of what it really means to be a Christian. And so help us with our understanding of that this morning as well. Help us to be faithful in sharing Christ with others so that they too can come to be a genuine Christian. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In verse 34 of chapter 14, it says, "And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret." Remember last week we had seen Peter walking on the water there and then beginning to sink, called out, and Christ saved him. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out to that country and brought unto him all that were diseased. And so here they are, and notice they bring everyone that's diseased. This word diseased is a word that very simply means bad. So they brought to Jesus people that had all kinds of bad things going on. It might have been a life-threatening disease. It might have been something else. But they just brought to him all these people. And notice it says who was bringing them. The men of that place had knowledge of him. And this word men is not a word for mankind. There are two separate words there. So this word is talking about the males. You know, and in Christianity, we need that more and more, don't we? I'm thankful for the men that God has given to Sumter Bible Church for leadership. And here were some men that they had knowledge of Christ, that he was coming, and they did something about it. And we need to take the knowledge that we have and do something with it. Because if we have knowledge of Christ and genuine Christianity, and we don't do anything with it, if we know that Christ can take care of a problem that a person has, and we don't take them to Christ, we haven't been very faithful in our Christianity there. So let's make sure that we are going to all that are diseased with different kinds of sinful things and take them to the Lord who can heal them from whatever bad thing may trouble them. And so now as they come to him, they have a request, and it uses the word besought there in your Bible. It says in verse 36, they besought him that they might touch the hem of his garment there. And so they're asking him, they're coming along aside of him and wanting him to come and do something. This is the verb form of the word that's used for the comforter. It says the Holy Spirit is our comforter, a paraclete, and this is that same word in the verb form. So they're calling Jesus along to provide some comfort, some healing, because they had a lot of bad things going wrong with them there. And these people had seen back in chapter 9, verse 20, remember the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years? She came and she was thinking in herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. Now, the Jews in obedience to the Mosaic law, they wore these hems around their garments, these borders there. And you can look up some verses in the Old Testament for that later there. The Pharisees, of course, you know what they did with theirs? They made them larger. So the Bible says you have these hems around your garments, but the Pharisees, they wanted everybody to see theirs, so they made theirs larger because the Pharisees, their entire religion was just a religion of show, wasn't it? They may have been genuine. They may have been sincere in what they were thinking, but they were so wrong in so many ways, as we'll see here a little bit. But they came and they were thinking, just touch the hem of the garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Not because there was something magical in the hem of that garment, but it was because of Christ himself. There's nothing magical in prayer cloths. I don't watch a lot of evangelists on TV, but I know in the past there have been some that have these prayer cloths. You know, you just you send in your $10 or your $20, and the pastor has touched it and prayed over it, and he's going to send you that prayer cloth, and boy, it's like touching the hem of the garment, you know. And people fall for that, don't they? There's nothing magical there. It's Christ himself who can do this, and he is able to make anyone whole of any spiritual disease, any physical disease, any sin that grips a person. He can free them from that sin. And these men are bringing people to Jesus. Now, they may have just been wanting physical healing. We don't know that they wanted to see them saved. We don't know their motives. But we do know that it said they had knowledge of Jesus. They knew what he had done for others. And they knew that he could do it for them. And that's the message that we have to take to a world as well, isn't it? I know what he's done for me. He can do the same for you if you come to Christ. And so now we come into chapter 15 and we see the tradition of the headmasters there, the leaders. There were the scribes and Pharisees in verse 1 and then the elders in verse 2. So all of these leadership people there, it tells us in verse 2, they came to the disciples to Jesus and said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Now, these people were thinking, we certainly do this. Well, you're saying, well, you probably should wash your hands before you eat. You know, you might get some germs. Didn't have anything to do with the physical aspect of it. It was a ritual thing that they would go through, and they thought just because this outward show of religion, if they would do that, then it would somehow make them more spiritual there because they were obeying some law from the Mosaic law there. And people today can have an outward show of religion. It might be some people sing in the choir. It might be that they teach a Sunday school class. It might be that they are a philanthropist, that they give a lot to the poor, or maybe they put before everyone that he's a very strong moral family man. Politicians like to use that, you know, to help promote them there as well. And all of these outward things people can do, but these outward things don't make a person a Christian. And so Jesus kind of condemns them a little bit because they're really selfishly motivated. They're just watching out for self. In verse 3, he said, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God?" So they come to Jesus wanting to talk about the sins of others. And Jesus said, well, let's first get the log out of your own eye here and see what your sin is, your transgression. He says in verse 4, "God commands, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curses, that is, speaks against his father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whatsoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me." And so what they were doing, they had their money, and they wanted to say, this money that God has given to me, I'm dedicating that to the Lord. So it's consecrated as a gift to God. So parents, mom and dad, I know you have this need, but I've given this to God, so I can't help you. And so Jesus is saying, you are disobeying the commandment of Scripture to honor your parents because you want to profit
personally by it yourself there. And true Christian service is done at a cost to self, isn't it? It might cost us our time. It might cost us our money. It will cost us our energy. But whenever we're doing true Christian service, we're not looking to see what I can get out of it. And that's what the Pharisees were doing here, looking out for themselves there. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." And so here are these people denying their parents, their own house there. They're not taking care of the needs of mom and dad and trying to make it look like they're spiritual for doing it. Recently in the news, you may have read about a woman in Sumter who's been missing for over a week, and she had a toddler and I think a 5 or 6 week old baby. They found out where she was, and she didn't want to come back because there was an outstanding warrant for a shoplifting offense there. And so for a whole week, she's trying to avoid being caught for that crime, and she left her children for that time. I just, so many things you read on the news just boggle your mind, don't you? How in the world could they do that? It's watching out for self. People are so self-centered and selfish, and even in their religion, these Pharisees, they were thinking that they were more spiritual than everyone else because they washed their hands before they ate, and they were doing other things that were sinful. So now we come to verse 7. And Jesus said, "You hypocrites, Isaiah spoke about you here." And so he talks to them as hypocrites because they were putting some value on words. He says, "You draw nigh to me with your mouths." And people do that, don't they? Oh, they'll talk the right things. Someone has said a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so you might be talking religion, you might be talking Christianity, but I want to see something. I want to see a picture. I want to see a demonstration that something is genuine, not just washing your hands to the outward parts there. Words without actions to support them have no value. But they thought that they had some value here, and these hypocrites, as Jesus identified them there, the word hypocrite, as you know, has to do with someone that hides behind a mask, somebody who pretends to be something else. And oftentimes it would be used with actors in a play where they would put on the mask and they would pretend to be someone else, another character. And that's what a hypocrite is. He puts on a show, he pretends to be something. These Pharisees were hypocrites because they were presenting themselves as being model Christians. And they weren't even Christians at all. What less model Christians there. They were hypocrites there. And so when God speaks words, God's words are reliable. But here are these people putting value on their words. They were drawing nigh to God with their mouths. And there may be that going on all over America today on the Lord's Day, Sunday morning. People coming in and just giving worship with words. And they leave and there's no picture to demonstrate a genuine Christian life after they leave. So Jesus said to them in verse 9, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And so they had vain worship. Their worship was not pleasing to God. It was not honoring to God. He didn't want anything to do with it because it was vain worship. There was no reverence for God. There was no honor for God. The things that they were doing and washing their hands, they were doing it just to be seen of men. They were doing it for self gain and glory there. And religion can be something that's used as a license to sin, or it can be used, as the Pharisees were using it, as legalistic. And so some people will use it as a license to have, I have liberty to do this and I can do this. And other people say, no, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you'll be pleasing to God. And they have all these lists of do's and don'ts that you can or cannot do, and think that those kinds of outward things will make you spiritual. Now, it's true that once we get saved, there are certain things we're not going to do because they're not pleasing to the Lord, and certain things we are going to do that are pleasing to the Lord, but they don't make us Christians. There we become Christians because there's a change of heart, as we'll see in just a little bit here. And so now we come to the heart of the issue there. All these extremities there on the outside, and Jesus is saying, there's a deeper problem. Pharisees, you bunch of hypocrites, you can't even see there. And first of all, he says, beginning in verse 10, he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said to him, sounds very 2016, doesn't it? They were offended. Boy, we hear that a lot today, don't we? Boy, so-and-so was offended there. It means to be led away. The Pharisees were led away from Jesus because they didn't like what he had to say. He was preaching to them the truth and telling them that they weren't Christians at all, that they were hypocrites there, and they don't even know the Lord there. And so often today, people are so afraid of offending someone, turning them away, that they won't even tell the truth. And this political correctness, people are putting so much emphasis on, and people are going to hell. While a lot of times, even in the church, people are trying to be politically correct because they don't want to offend someone. Courtney sent me an article yesterday, and I'll just share part of it there. It was from the Washington Post, and it said, in this country, talking about Iceland, literally no young Christians believe that God created the earth. And I looked at that headline, and I said, there's a misunderstanding of what it means to be a Christian, you know, and working on my sermon even when she sent that yesterday. It says here in this article, only 20 years ago, nearly 90% of all Icelanders were religious people. Today, less than 50%. And you probably know that Iceland advertises itself also as one of the havens for the gay community there, with same-sex marriage, and so-called Christians there are even saying that it's okay there. Then the article goes on to say, in the United States, a 2014 Gallup poll found that 28% of Americans between 18 and 29 said they believe that God created humans in the present form within the last 10,000 years. So that's a creation view that we take as Christians, that God created the heavens and the earth and created man and woman. There, only 28% of Americans in that age group believe that there. Now, probably not all 28% of those are Christians. It is my opinion that a person could get saved, and he might not be a creationist, but once he gets saved and he starts reading the Bible, he's going to become one because he's going to come to trust all of God's word there. So concerning Iceland, another part of this article, it says about 40% of the country's younger generation still consider themselves Christian, but none of them believe that God created the earth. So they consider themselves Christian, but they don't believe God created the earth. So how can you say, I'm going to believe God on this part of what it means to be a Christian, but I'm not going to believe God on this part about how the earth came into existence? Here's what they say. Research suggests the emergence of a more science-based Christian belief. We don't need a more science-based Christian belief. We need a more Bible-based Christian belief. What the Bible says about what it means to be saved there. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And that's why it's important for us as Christians to pronounce a sentence against evil work, whether it be creation, anti-creation, secularism, or evolution, whatever the evil work may be, we need to pronounce a sentence against that, as Jesus did against the Pharisees here, and people didn't like it. And they may not like it when we take a stand there, because issues sometimes will divert people from the truth. They want to discuss all these other things and get away from the heart is what's needed. It doesn't have to do with washing of hands before the meal there. It doesn't have to do with evolution and creation. We can deal with that later, or any of the other sins. You got to deal with the problem of the heart. And then all the other things will eventually come in to play as well. But then in verse 13, not only does the heart like to divert away from the issue at hand, it also destroys. Jesus answered when they mentioned about their being offended. Here's his response. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And so the next thing he says, this heart of man that is not looking for the heart of God, it destroys. A few chapters back, we were looking at the parable of the wheat and the tares there. And here it says that any one that God didn't plant, he's going to pull them up. And so there are people that are Christian in name only, is what he's saying here, like the Pharisees, they're going to be uprooted. They're not genuinely saved. People that say they are Christians and say that they believe in the Big Bang Theory, they're not genuine Christians there, unless they've just gotten saved and they haven't changed their mind. But for the most part, they're not genuinely saved there. They're going to be uprooted. People that say that they are a Christian and they can continue to live in a life of sin, they're not genuine Christians, because whenever God changes a heart, then he begins to work things out to the outside. And so there's a great problem with people thinking that they can be Christians and not accept all of the Word of God. And that leads us to the next thing, what Jesus said here. It deceives. You have blind people leading blind people. And Jesus said, they're both going to fall into the ditch whenever that happens. People can be deceived. The heart, Jeremiah says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And people are deceived into thinking that maybe they're Christian because they, like the Pharisees, have their weekly religion. They have their traditions. They do this, they do that. They think they're Christians, but we see several verses on deceit. Deuteronomy says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And so people can be deceived in thinking that they're Christian because their parents are Christian, because they go to church, because they go to a Christian school, because they, you know, they honor their parents, they give to the poor, they do all these other things. They can think they're Christians because of the outward things. And Jesus says, don't be deceived. Don't be led by the blind. What other people say, look at the Word of God, what it says about being a genuine Christian. He says, let no man deceive himself. And sometimes people can deceive themselves. They start looking at what the Bible says about hell. They certainly don't want to go there. And then they start convincing themselves, no, I'm not going there because I do this and I do that. And they deceive themselves. And people without Christ, without genuine Christianity, they're on the way to hell. They're being deceived. And we need to tell them the truth. Speak the truth in love, as the Bible says. James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The heart can deceive people. That's why we need to give people the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing to give your own testimony and tell how you were saved and let people see a picture of what it means to be saved. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is like a hammer. It breaks the hard heart. God's Word is like rain. It soaks in and it produces results. We need to share God's Word with people. God's Word is what He uses for people to be saved. And the last verse, Ephesians 5, 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. That's what the Pharisees had. They had vain words. They had vain worship. They were deceived themselves. They were deceiving others. And Jesus says, these Pharisees are going to lead you astray. Don't be deceived by them. But then Jesus finishes up this passage. He says, another thing about the heart, not only does it divert from the truth, it destroys people. The heart will deceive, but the heart defiles. Notice beginning in verse 15. They answered Peter and said to him, declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever enters into a mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the drought? And those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceed, notice these things that come from the heart, evil thoughts here. The word is reasonings, and that's what people do. They reason out things about what Christianity is, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. There. And so all of these things will defile a person. In the Bible, the word defile has to do with being common, something that has not been consecrated. It hasn't been sanctified by God, so it's considered to be common. It's defiled there. And for us to be used of God, we can't be defiled. We need to be consecrated and dedicated to Him. And so Jesus says it's the heart. The Pharisees had a hard heart. They had a heart that was away from God. Oh, they were doing a lot of outward things. They genuinely thought that they were the true believers and everybody else needed to be like them. But they were deceived. And so Jesus is teaching here as we conclude. Well, if you look at the touch of the hem, as we look at genuine Christianity and what some people misunderstand about it, you can believe in miracles and still go to hell. There are people today who believe in miracles. They believe that God can do anything He wants to do, but they still haven't been saved there. And like these men that came and they had knowledge of Jesus, what He had done in the past, they knew what He could do, but certainly not all of them were genuinely believers. You can have the tradition of the headmasters there. You can practice religious services and exercise your religion as the Pharisees were doing. And there are a lot of people that do it, some on Sunday, some on Saturday, some more often than that, have their holy days. There are a lot of people involved in religion that practice their religion and their tradition, but they're not genuine Christians. Then we see the tongue of the hypocrites. You can talk the language of the Bible. And sometimes people, they know the language of the Bible. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. God loves everyone. And sometimes they will use that to excuse behavior and sin of other people. And of course, everybody knows the story of the woman taken in adultery, and they know the line where Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee. And there's misunderstanding there. They think that what she was doing was not wrong. They forget the next line Jesus said, don't they? Go and sin no more, which means what you're doing was sin. Don't do it anymore. And so he wasn't tolerating sin. He was standing against sin. And people today can have all the language of the Bible and still not be saved. The Pharisees, they knew the Scriptures. They were adding to it. They weren't saved. But the trouble with the heart needs to be transplanted. Ezekiel talks about there's a new heart. There's a stony heart. God takes away the old man. He gives the new man. When a person gets saved, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. The old things about some of my beliefs, maybe some of my traditions, maybe even some of the words that I speak, all those things pass away. And genuine Christianity is a change of heart. And when God changes a heart and he puts a new heart within a person, he saves that person. With that new heart comes, as Hebrews calls it, things that accompany salvation. Comes a new desire for the Word of God, a new desire to put away anything that's sinful practice from my life. And if a person doesn't have that desire to put away all the evil from his life and get closer to God, then he has deceived himself. And that's the warning that Jesus gives here about being led into the ditch by religious people here. He says the trouble is with the heart there. And the heart needs to be changed. And God is still doing that, isn't he? God is still saving people today. God is still changing hearts and giving new life. And we as Christians, in some ways, need to be like the men who had knowledge of Jesus. And they started bringing people to him because he knew that he could cure whatever bad thing was in their life, whatever bad sin, whatever bad disease. Jesus can heal it. And when he does, he removes it as far as the east is from the west, and he gives us new life with a new way of living, with new desires, new habits, new practices, new friends, a lot of new things whenever we come to get a new heart. Thank the Lord for a new heart that he gives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lesson on genuine Christianity. And Lord, we don't speak that just to be condemning of other people who were not genuinely saved. Lord, may our hearts weep and break for them because they are deceived. Deceived by Satan. Satan's master plan is to be a deceiver. And oftentimes he uses religious people, even people that call themselves Christians, that sometimes can lead others away. Even with words, the language of Scripture, they can use it and twist the Scriptures. Lord, help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, help us to be able to know those that are lost in sin and be able to share Christ with them as well and see them gloriously saved and a life totally transformed because the heart has been changed. We thank you that whenever we get saved, we exchange all of our sinful lives for the righteousness of Christ, and that new righteousness you put within us begins to demonstrate itself in righteous living. Help us to do that so that we might be a good testimony for Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.